such that she believes in great things. Good morning, good afternoon, or good bloody well evening. Straight in there. Welcome to Cross Button, our fortnightly deep dive into all things PlayStation. I am Dan, your host, your guide, your muse, your flame for the next 30 minutes and give my usual big energetic PS high five. Come on, guys. To the other two resident ponies joining me this fine day for a raucous Sony chinwag. It's the ever dual sensible and dualicious Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hello.
Hello. With the cursed webcam, by the way, guys.
We'll with talk the cursed about
webcam. Cursed webcam. And of course, all bow down to Shadowfax, Lord of the Ponies. It is Laurie. Hi, Laurie.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, mate. Ah, fantastic. We're going to jump into what we've been playing. Heather, what have you been playing? Let me know.
Very much the same as the last episode. It's still Horizon. It's still Slay the Spire. Okay. But I've got a hankering to play Resident Evil Village again, so that might be on the cards for me very soon.
Did you get the steelbook for Resident Evil?
No.
I've got the steelbook there, you can have it, because I don't like that game. And any of the games I don't like, I give steelbooks away. Laurie knows this very well.
Love that. I liked it, but, you know, gigantic lady wife, so it was a good time.
Max likes the gigantic lady wife as well. He was trying to run.
I played a demo of Resident Evil Village, and that was enough for me. I was like, this game is amazing. It looks incredible. It's tight. It's atmospheric. It felt great. But I was like, I am not playing that. That is too scary.
Very spoopy. Very, very spoopy. How far are you into Horizon now? Just out of curiosity.
I am many hours. I'm not sure in terms of hours, but I am... Where am I? I'm past San Francisco. And I'm trying to like not spoil it, but I'm like San Fran and then back to base vibes.
If
that kind of makes sense where you guys are at. I don't know whether I definitely feel like it's not getting the love from me that it deserves because of Elden Ring. And I think I've got like a bit of a game hangover, which is why I'm tempted to go for bit of Resident Evil for like a super narrow adventure.
Super narrow comfort food that you've played before, get into it, get back into games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just something kind of like not as open worldy, I think. But I am still enjoying it.
I think you're quite far. I think you're probably, well, I'm spoiling it, but you're a good chunk away through the game now.
I am, yeah. I did a big push on the story because I felt like I wasn't getting anywhere. Just doing lots of like trying to like mop everything up as I go. So I did a really big push this week and did a huge amount of story. And I'm definitely like leading up to, you know, you can tell you kind of ramped up. I guess I'm like level 46 or 7 or something. So I'm like sort of that level in the game, I guess.
Nice.
Yeah.
Laurie, have you been leveling up what you've been playing?
I have been leveling up in Cyberpunk still, and I'm still playing that, and I'm still absolutely absorbed into it, completely hook, line, and sinker. It's got its fat, greasy chops around me.
Ooh, don't talk about greasy. We've been talking about my greasy keyboard while we've been having technical issues, but I've also jumped into Cyberpunk 2077. So I booted it up about 2 weeks ago. I've played maybe about 4 hours. So I was talking about on the crosscast, so I won't go into the same detail, but I'm enjoying it as well. Like, you can tell it's being polished now. It's definitely to the point where the world feels populated. Things feel like they're actually happening there. It's not just kind of like this vacant kind of place.
Yeah, I think you were the same as me, weren't you? You bought it on day one and played it and was like,
no,
not playing it.
This is going on the shelf until it's good, which I'm really happy I did, similar to yourself, because... Like I said, replaying it that second time, it did feel like a completely different game. Obviously, the opening part's very similar, but just some of the things it's tweaked and changed, it's great. And the aesthetic of that world, so cool. So,
I'm really enjoying it. Definitely sticking with this till the end, and can't really, nothing is getting a look in. The Xbox has just I haven't turned their back on you, but pleased to hear, Heather. It's just all about just playing Cyberpunk on the PS5 now. But it's really good. It's quite overwhelming as a game. The first kind of 10 hours. It's not one of those games where you say, "Oh, it gets good after 10 hours." But I think it started good for me and it stays good. But I think all the systems really sort of click, and it's very overwhelming at first. And after about kind of 10 hours of playing with it, you're like, "Okay, I get all this is now, and I can use all these different menus and skill trees and different." There's so many menus. There's so many skill trees and things to go through. That's probably to its discredit, but yeah, eventually it does all click and you start to get with it and stuff. It's good. It's kind of, people say it's like it tried to sort of sell itself as this kind of deep immersive simulation world thing, and people say, "Oh, you can break it quite easily," and I think you probably could. If you tried to go around just starting to shoot people or drive people over, you probably can break the illusion, but I think you're kind of missing the point if you do that. It's kind of meant to be played in quite a kind of scripted tight way, and if you just want to run around shooting everything and stuff, then the AI is probably not going to behave how it should do. But you know, I'm not doing that because that's not what the character would be doing in that world. He's kind of trying to be incognito. I'm trying to play it in that sort of way. So it's holding up really well for me, and I'm really enjoying it. It's not really like anything else I would usually play, so I'm very happy.
Yeah, on that point of things that I wouldn't usually play, so I've also been playing another game called Donut County. So it's a pretty old game, and we had Sissy Jones on the podcast, God knows how many years ago, and it was one of her picks for a Desert Island Cart. I don't know if you've both played this or enjoyed it.
I actually played it over Easter randomly for the first time.
Yeah, so
just a few weeks ago.
It's just a really simple indie game. Can't recall who the dev is who's produced it. So pardon my ignorance. But it quite literally is you just move a hole around and then suck up things that are in front of you, and the hole gradually gets bigger. So the whole point is you start kind of these different levels where there might be a couple of potted plants, you bring that into the hole, then you eventually get to the point of taking in a car, and then all the way to the point of there's always a character in that level that you kind of want to bring in, and then that takes them into this kind of pit that they've all created. And the story's fantastic, the writing's amazing for it. It's all about a very naughty raccoon who creates these holes and then eats the people, and then it's absolutely amazing.
If you haven't played it, you'd be listening to you right now thinking, "What the fuck is he talking about?" Yeah. This just sounds absolutely batshit crazy, and it is.
But everything about it is just so much fun, and I downloaded it on a whim, played it on mobile, and I picked it up on the PS4 as well. I got the physical edition of it as well. Cost me a few quid. But just really loved it. Really simple, very, very funny. I'd urge anyone to go and have a go. I think you can get it for like £4 at the moment on the PlayStation Store, and something similar on iOS. I actually preferred it on iOS as well, if you can get it on there. I don't know if it's on Android. Apologies. So
I played it on Switch, where it also plays very well.
I feel convinced. I might go and check it out.
Yeah, check it out.
It's probably a 2-hour game, which is kind of the whole thing you can do in kind of 2 or 3 hours. It's a very quick, but it doesn't, anything longer I think you'd get fed up a bit. So it's just a couple of hours, it's just really silly, and the joke doesn't wear off in that time, so it's great.
I'll tell you something controversial that I did play this week.
Go on.
I used the Switch. It came out of its box for the first time in almost a year.
Did it start crying at you? It was like...
It had so little charge that it was at least 2 hours before there was even anything on screen.
Now, Dan, what do you think? What game do you think Heather turned on a Switch to play?
Ooh, Mario Kart.
Laurie, would you like to take a guess?
Breath of the Wild.
No. It was Hades.
How was
Hades?
It?
Right. Hades.
Yeah, I had a trip to Birmingham, so I play Hades all the way.
Nice. Okay, cool. Do you enjoy it?
Loved it.
Yeah.
Tempted to buy it on the PlayStation.
Ah, right. Okay. Are you? The PS5 artwork's really cool as well. Looks nice on that disc.
That's what I'm thinking.
So you said obviously something controversial. Let's jump into some news. So Jim Ryan somehow has absolutely put his foot in his mouth at a point where he didn't need to do anything because Xbox have had a woeful week in the news. On Bloomberg, the story continues that some staff at Sony Group Corporation are seething following an email Thursday from the head of PlayStation that urged employees to respect differences of opinion on abortion rights before entering into 5 detailed paragraphs about his 2 cats' first birthday. This email opens by addressing several current events, including the recent leak of the draft US Supreme Court opinion that signaled an intention to overturn the landmark 1973 case Roe versus Wade, which legalized abortion nationwide. Many corporations have felt pressure from employees to comment on the case, but most video game companies have remained silent on the matter. There are a few notable exceptions, however, such as Bungie, the developer of Destiny game, which called the decision, and I quote, a direct attack on human rights in a blog post last week. Standing up for reproductive choice and liberty is not a difficult decision to make, Bungie said, receiving largely positive reactions from its employees. Ironically, Sony agreed earlier this year to buy Bungie for $3.6 billion. So I don't really think we need to clarify our own position on this. I think we're all relatively liberal. I think we all kind of care about people having choice. Heather, I'm going to come to you as the as probably the person that's got more of an opinion on this. You come from a very rich background of women's rights.
Of having a uterus also.
have at it, Heather. Have at it.
Basically, I mean, I'm always a fan of getting an email about a cat's birthday party, first and foremost. That's great. Just do that. You know, you don't have to have an opinion. And especially if it's a shitty one. So, I mean, my stance is that no one has the right to police what anybody else does with their body and organs and life, particularly. So, I have all the fear for all the people who will be benefited by it. Not benefited by it, fucking affected by it. Because it's terrifying and it's horrifying and it's something that I can't even begin to wrap my head around. And if this was the UK, then I'd be in the streets freaking burning it down. Like, it's not something that at all should even be in conversation in this day and age.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Completely agree. Mm. Laurie, anything, any stance on this at all, mate? Or,
I mean, if you're morally against abortions, just don't get one. Would be my advice to people. But what right you have over other people to whether they should get one or not, it's kind of a moral question. It's down to them. For Jim Ryan in particular, what is he thinking? You have to kind of remember how polarized America is right now on both. It's just extremely polarized, and the Republican Party are the party of rich white men, I guess. And I guess Jim Ryan could probably guess which way his persuasion lies or his views lie on the matter, but it's kind of a PR disaster. Like, why just say nothing? Like, if you think that most companies are probably run by people who are probably Republican voters because they're rich white men, and that's probably demographically where they're gonna fall. Just don't say anything. You're gonna just and then just kind of this ridiculous cat story just to kind of trivialize the matter and stuff. And you know, the point of his email, do people have different opinions on things? Just let's agree disagreeably or disagree agreeably, sorry, let's respect other people's opinions and stuff, and that kind of, all right, okay, that's fair enough. But if you don't say anything helpful here, if you know what your employees are going to be feeling very strongly about, if you know what your audience are going to be feeling very strongly about, just don't. It kind of surprises me that their PR team wouldn't step in and be like, whoa, hold on a minute. Before you go say anything, right, anything, any kind of political issues, just run it past us first, mate, before you send any company-wide emails, which will get leaked to the press, just because...
Just the way... The part that was absurd as well, like, he goes on a rant about cats and then eventually wanting a dog. Like... what's the precedent set for this? Is he going to like do an email in a couple of weeks about rape and then go, oh, but I made a casserole, and then it'll be like continuing to do stupid stuff? You know, it's just a ridiculous way of operating, but very, very poorly received. I think he needs to think about his audience as well, and the fact that email was inevitably going to leak, you know, when it doesn't appease people within the group. And again, like, if he wants to respect other people's opinions, that's fine, but clearly I don't think his employees valued that. So sad, very sad. Also very, very sad is this month on PlayStation. So I'm on the official PlayStation.com site. I'm just going to reel off a couple of the games that are out this month. The headline game is Sniper Elite 5, guys, and that's on the 26th of May. There you go. I don't think anyone's particularly interested in that. Vampire the Masquerade Swan Song comes out on 19th of May. That had quite a lot of screen time, did it, in a recent PlayStation showcase, so I don't know.
I will pick it up at some point.
Yeah. Did you ever play, was it the original Blood Omen? Was it Blood Omen?
I've played the RPG, like the pen and paper RPG.
Oh, really?
Okay, cool. Vampire, so I was like hyped for the one that got scrapped. So I will give this a go at some point. I did play the Battle Royale that they just released.
Yeah, okay.
Twice, and then I uninstalled. But, you know, yeah, I'll give this one a go, I think.
Yes, that's Vampire the Masquerade Bloodhunt is the... Yeah. Yeah, okay, cool.
Then Prague.
Yeah, ooh, I like Prague. Mm. Let's say it, Prague. Feel dead intelligent. Prague. Okay, so the 17th of May, we've got Two Point Campus, which again is the spiritual successor to a lot of the theme games that came out, Theme Park, Theme Hospital. They made Two Point Hospital, didn't they, about 4 years ago. Did you guys play those games, or did you enjoy them much when you were younger?
I absolutely loved Theme Hospital.
I loved it, yeah.
Loved it. And Dungeon Keeper?
My favourite game of all, one of my favourite games of all times, Dungeon Keeper. Yeah.
Loved them. I did try and play Two Point Hospital, but I just found it, like, I couldn't get in the groove at all. I just was chaos.
Yeah, exactly the same. It felt like having the Tesco's equivalent of Heinz tomato sauce.
Pressure. I didn't like it. I was like, well, these people are ill and I can't help them, and I sent off.
See, I tried to play on Switch as well, and that was just a nightmare, like trying to scroll up constantly. Yeah. Like, it was like, oh, this is horrible. Laurie, any affinity with the theme games or two-point games?
Yeah, a big Theme Hospital fan like yourselves as a young'un, but I've not played these new ones. They're not sorts of games that I kind of would play nowadays, really. I think the industry's kind of moved on a bit, really, and these kind of sim games, they're kind of a bit of a niche, aren't they? It seems like even kind of SimCity's gone away, and that kind of genre just seems, I don't know, it seems like it needs a spark to get people excited about it again.
Yeah. A couple of indie games that are already out. So Salt and Sacrifice, which is the follow-up, I think, to Salt and Sanctuary. That was out on the 10th of May. And also Unpacking, which I believe was out on Xbox last month or the month before it. I think you can still get it on Game Pass. You should know, Laurie.
Yes, yeah, I finished it on. That's the only game. It's the only game I've played on the Xbox, finished, and now my Game Pass has lapsed now, so I'm that's going to be my only Xbox completion for a while.
What's your 30-second review of it?
It's very good. It's not, I wouldn't describe it as a fun game, but it's a very relaxing and satisfying game, and it tells a lovely story about a woman's life. It's interesting. It kind of makes you think about how the items you own and the story they tell about you, and how the things you've held on to over the years, and the things you've let go. So it makes you think.
Cool. Yeah, and I don't know if either of you played Salt and Sanctuary, but I know it's a big fan favourite with quite a few of the other guys in the group. Very Souls-like. On the actual official PlayStation Store, it said Salt and Sacrifice is the follow-up to the Souls-like dark fantasy RPG Salt and Sanctuary in a land plagued by powerful and twisted mages. The condemned marked inquisitors take up the hunt. A once peaceful kingdom is plunged into chaos by encroaching tides of mages, merciless embodiments of elemental chaos. As a marked inquisitor, you'll journey through the western frontier, pursuing, hunting, and obliterating the mages that roam the realm. You may be bound to the Inquisition, but the choices are yours. Take up the hunt with your fellow inquisitors. All mages must die. Looks very pretty. Looks really cool. So that will be interesting. It's only £12.99 at the moment as well on PS Store. So there you go. Moving into the next story. So the Sony Showcase is rumoured to be the first week of June. Over on pushsquare.com, they've featured the article and notes from Jeff Grubb on Twitter. The original story is, we know that waiting for Sony to actually do something could be a painstaking process, especially when gossip like this is floating about, but these latest whispers are still worth pointing out. This particular rumor originates from Talkative, in brackets, and Reliable, games reporter Jeff Grubb, who on the latest episode of GB Decides says that Sony might have a showcase set for the first week of June. Grubb cites multiple sources, but can't outright confirm that an event is happening. Take it all with a grain of salt. That's basically what it says there. So we've kind of like set this up for our topic of the week, and Laurie, I'm going to kind of pass over to you here, but you basically said, do we think that PlayStation needs a big show? or on the knowledge that the games we have got coming that haven't slipped yet, which we'll talk about in a second, do we think just seeing some more of them is enough for the rest of 2022? So, Laurie, I know, have you got the list in front of you? Do you want me to reel off the exclusives multi-platform that's still slated for this year?
No, I've got them here.
You crack on then.
I could be wrong here. I could have missed them. And on the multi-platform, there's loads of games coming out. I've just picked out the ones that I think are probably the headline grabbers. Exclusive-wise, I believe there's Stray, Forspoken, and then hopefully God of War Ragnarok. I mean, it's supposed to be still. We haven't heard otherwise. So that is a 2022 game still.
Yeah.
And then the big games, multi-platform games that are coming out for the rest of the year, they've got Quarry from Supermassive, Gotham Knights, Plague Tale 2, big Avatar game from Ubisoft, this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game, arcade retro-style game, and then Hogwarts Legacy, which isn't exclusive, but I think that's going to be quite closely aligned. Like, it's obviously had its own state of play, so I think they kind of tie that up as a PlayStation first in the public size game. So I think that's a pretty strong... I kind of, when I was thinking about this earlier, I was like, oh, it's going to be quiet for the rest of the year now. We don't really know much about what's coming. But actually, that list of games there, and a couple of big exclusives, you know, even if just God of War on its own dropped, you'd have God of War, Horizon Forbidden West, GT7, and Ghostwire Tokyo. I think that's a pretty strong year exclusive-wise, especially, you know, compared to Xbox this year. Now, they don't have anything, so I don't think Sony feel like they need to try and cram any more in. I don't think they'll be panicking about it, even if they don't have, you know, even if Ragnarok does get pushed, they'll still have two or three big exclusives that they can point to. So, you know, maybe they will just push Ragnarok, and maybe they'll feel, well, we don't really need it now. The competition doesn't have any exclusives. Why do we feel we need to? They'll just put all their kind of effort into promoting Hogwarts and some of the other stuff that's multi-platform. But, I mean, so the question, do they need one? I don't think they need one. I think we all would love to see one because we all just love the hype. It's just fun, exciting to see what they're up to, what else is on the horizon that's going to come after Ragnarok, because we don't really know, other than Insomniac's two games, what any of their studios are working on now. Yeah. So, I mean, we need to, from that respect, at some point we've got to find out what these companies are doing, and they tend to do a big kind of showcase to show what their big reveals are going to be. But I wouldn't want to guess, because Sony these days have really just kind of gone for the more smaller state of play, dedicated to one game, and just kind of parceling out the hype into just chunks throughout the year. So that was a very long, rambling answer to say, I don't know.
Heather, so we basically just said there, you've got Ragnarok coming at the moment still, we hope. However, you've still had Horizon, GT7, and then pretty much guaranteed to get Forspoken, haven't we? Because that's literally in the next month or two. So Ghostwire Tokyo as well came out, but I don't think that's been a particularly strong game. Are you happy with that? Bearing in mind, if we get Ragnarok, Stray as well, does that sound like a good 2022
Stray comes
for you?
Out, that's it. My year is made. Meow. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I know.
I'll be 10 out of 10 thrilled. Game of the year, solid. Ragnarok would be like the icing on that beautiful cake, I guess. I loved the previous one. I'm very excited for this one. Forspoken, I am looking forward to, but like I'm not like mega hyped for, I guess.
Yeah, so.
But like, I respect the time, you know, like pushing it back to take the time to get it where it wants to be, like that's grand. I'm very excited for The Quarry. That will be a day one purchase for me. I'm pretty much Supermassive. I will buy pretty much day one, no matter what. We loved that horror spoopy.
It's had good reviews, so yeah. Like good previews, I should say. The Quarry as well. Loads of people said like it feels like a more polished version of some of the horror games that have come before it. So,
yeah.
Heather, have you played all of the Man of Medan series that they did? Have you played all those ones?
Yes, I've played all of them. Have I played all of them? I've done Man of Medan, I've done Little Hope, and I've done 99% of House of Ashes. I think that's all of them.
So Until Dawn, I was a huge fan of that. I really liked it, but I've not really got into these more they're episodic, or they're just kind of smaller linked but not linked kind of games.
They're not linked in terms of Until Dawn, other than the narrator dude. But they all feature the same core, like, motion capture voice actors.
Yeah.
So that's quite good. It's kind of got, like, an American Horror Story vibe in that sense. And they're very much small, contained little chapters. They're not very long. They're not very long, but they're almost slightly too long to be like a part game, because you are like meant to play it kind of multiplayer, and different people, you know, can make different choices, and that all has repercussions, and it kind of encourages you to play as not just solo. But then they're just slightly too long, because you'd be like in someone's house for like 10 hours. I want that.
But yeah, the quarry looks like it's a proper kind of return to the Until Dawn style of bigger.
I think so. Yeah, it's the full sort of size sequel, not sequel, but next installment, I think, rather than a dark picture, which will be good.
Cool. Yeah, I'm going to go, I think we've got some great games coming, and if Ragnarok comes, I absolutely will be happy. I still think they probably need at least another game or two this year. I think they've got a great opportunity just to steal a bit of a march as well on Microsoft, especially with some of the delays from Bethesda, which I know Jim Ryan shat on and made the news about him, the selfish prick. So it's, yeah, I'd like to see more, I think, at a showcase. I'm pretty impatient anyway when it comes to games, and I do feel like the back end of the year, let's say Ragnarok doesn't hit and it comes in early next year, because they go, right, you know what, we don't want to bring it out November or whatever it's meant to be, because it's still within that capture for Game of the Year, and we don't want to go up against Elden Ring. Let's drop it a year and go up against Legend of Zelda instead, or whatever it might be. So
yeah, I don't know how much that, like, it's nice to get a Game of the Year, but I don't know if they time their releases around it, like, because there's always good stuff every year, isn't there? There's always a few good things.
Not sure. Like, there's been years where we've kind of been drowned of great games. I think, like, Control's a fantastic game, but up against some of the massive games, like, you know, any other year, either side of it probably would have struggled. What was the COVID year? Game of the year that year? Was it Animal Crossing? No, it can't have been.
Was Hades.
It? Hades, yeah. So, great game, but again, would it
10 out of 10, well deserved.
I mean, they won it, but it did, like,
The thing is, though, like, we could get into the politics of Game Awards and whether anybody actually deserves to win the Game of the Year and whether they're actually unbiased for hours, the same way as the Academy Awards. Should Breath of the Wild won over Horizon Zero Dawn? No, it should not.
Frosty. Topic right there.
Spoilers. Spoilers.
That's next week's rant.
Might bookmark that for a few weeks from now.
Yeah, we'll come back to that one. That's good. So yeah, I think to kind of summarise, I am excited if there is going to be a showcase. It's inevitable there is going to be one, whether or not it is just a deep dive into some of the games we already know about, or whether or not it's maybe a bit of a, it shines light on indies or some third party games coming. I'd still like to see a little bit more of what is going to hit the PlayStation 5 this year. I'm also really interested in, like, firmware updates, you know, what they're going to do feature wise with that console. Give us themes.
It wouldn't surprise me if they didn't announce, like, some acquisitions.
Yeah, completely agree. Again, it's seems nailed on for certain people.
The Game Pass situ is also supposed to be June.
Yeah, exactly. So, a lot stacked. They
do love the rivalry with Xbox, and it wouldn't surprise me to kind of kick them while they're down, because they are bastards like that. And now that this kind of, it's so stupid, it's so immature, really, because, like, last year everyone was like, oh, Xbox is finally on top, and PlayStation's had a shit year, and because they had, like, a two or three really strong exclusives, and now this year they have none, and Sony's got a few. But it just waxes and wanes. But that is the industry, and I'm sure the sort of Xbox won't take a, you know, they'll want to capitalize on that and just build that momentum and stuff. So have kind of a big hype show. You know, we don't know what it's been. Naughty Dog, we're still waiting to hear about that Last of Us remake or the multiplayer game that they're coming out. Is this kind of something that will tie in with the TV series when that comes out next year? Ben's Days Gone, that came out in 2019, so that's kind of must be due to find out what they're up to now, because it's been 3 years since that came out. There's lots of rumors about things like Silent Hill remakes constantly, or Metal Gear Solid remakes. Kojima's probably up to something. It's probably time to find out with some really weird, batshit crazy trailer. You could show that. PSVR 2, I mean, that could probably get some, its holdover showcase just itself, but that could pop up and they could show some games running on that and say it was going to be more later in the year. We're going to do a full big deep dive in it and stuff. But there's loads of stuff they could put in it if they wanted to. And just to, again, just to really capitalize on Xbox just having kind of nothing for the rest of the year, and they can say, look, all this stuff coming out, all this stuff coming in the future, buy one now. And yeah, you can see, I can see them doing that. But then equally, it's just, who knows with Sony these days? They just seem to be really hard to predict what they're going to do, and you kind of expect them to come up with something, and then they just stay quiet. They're turning into a bit like Nintendo in that respect. They're not really conforming to any kind of pattern or anything.
Amen.
Just do stuff as and when they feel like it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tell you what I feel like. I feel like going over to Twitter and getting some questions that we've been asked. Gavin says, at Gav underscore.
I feel like I'm very quickly going to put a light on because it's got way spookier.
It was spoopy. Something that's going to happen. Oh, is she going to come back? Oh, that was easy. Okay. Gavin, at Gav underscore Winnie, spelled WINNIE, said, I want to know if it is worth picking up a PS4 if I haven't owned a PlayStation since the PlayStation 2. Laurie, come on.
I mean, I'd say get a PS5 if you can, but equally, you could probably pick up a PS4 for like 100 quid and you've got, you could have a solid year or two of excellent games. And if you're not bothered about stuff like playing stuff in 4K and 60 frames per second, all that kind of stuff that the PS5 can do. So, I mean, yeah, the PS4 library is fantastic. So much on there. If you've never played any of it, you'll be set for years. It's fantastic. But equally, you could just get a PS5 and play those same games enhanced if you can. And you're a lot better on PS5, but yeah, it costs a lot more. So depends, Gav, how much disposable cash you have these days. And, you know,
how much bread are you throwing around, Gav?
Definitely, just buying a PS4 is a great budget option. You know, right now, and you can get a lot of cheap games. You could probably pick up, probably off of Ben or so, a load of them.
Heather, what are you saying? PS4, pick one up.
Yeah, 100%. Not even a question, Gav. Get on with it.
Okay.
I would suggest, if you don't want to buy a PS5, which is fine, no pressure, buy a PS4 Pro. Get a chunky boy.
Yeah.
And just have a good time. But if you do get a 5, then you basically don't really need to buy any of the new games necessarily, and just enjoy the PS Plus Classic thing, whatever it's called.
Whatever it's going to be.
Collection.
Yeah,
the collection thing, because that was like all the mega titles for free. So, yeah. But you could get them well cheap, and a Pro also cheaper than a 5. But it's not as future-proof. So.
It's not as future-proof, but it isn't going to sound like it's going to take off from Manchester Airport every 5 seconds. So, Heather, I'm going to ask you this one. So from JellyBelly100, at PSN JellyBelly, when do you guys expect to see a release from Naughty Dog? We've seen Insomniac pretty much single-handedly carry the PlayStation in terms of output, but Naughty Dog has been very quiet for a very long time. Will we see Last of Us Remastered and Factions this year? Kind of ties into what we're saying. What are you saying? Mm. What are you thinking?
I don't know, man. I definitely think there's going to be the remaster with the telly show.
Okay.
I think that's going to bring a lot of people in.
Mm.
And in terms of Factions, maybe.
Okay.
It wouldn't surprise me to see Factions at the end of the year, even if they just said, look, this is a new thing, we're just launching this one mode, and this is going to be our big live service thing that's going to grow over the years. And people just kind of give it a pass then, because they can just say, this is what we've got so far. You know, it's going to build, we're going to iterate on it. Don't kind of judge it too harshly at first, which I can't, maybe Naughty Dog, that's not their style, but yeah, if it does launch this year, it could just be launch and mode a bit this year, and then it gets a full release next year.
I think in terms of new game, I doubt we would get anything until the new year, beyond like maybe confirmation that there's an IP in the works. But beyond that, I think The Last of Us 2 had too much surrounding its crunch and its culture to be turfing anything out anytime soon. I think a lot of people would want to see some real, like, you know, changes in there practices, really, before the next game comes out.
Cool.
Yeah, I think Naughty Dog are probably going to have a new IP that they'll show probably mid-generation. It was years away from finding out about that, and I think they'll probably hand Uncharted off to someone else to develop some spin-offs of, just because it's such a huge IP, and if they're going to make a film franchise out of it, that makes sense. But yeah, I don't think we find out anything for a while yet beyond the Last of Us projects that we know about.
So that is your lot for the week. I'm going to give a quick shout out to the patrons. So Sean Hughes, Tyler Renoir, Jason Frost, Lilina DeSotles, Tristan Brooks, Sarah Purbrick, Rebecca Rudranath, Tim Elf, Luke Cooper, Kevin Scully, and Mark Grumpy Hammond. And that is everything. Thanks for joining us on our fortnightly adventure. If you want any MOAR of this ruckus, head on over to crossplayers.com, and if you click on the Discord link, you can find all of our rowdy bunch lurking about in there. If you want to go a whole step further, head on over to patreon.com/thecrossplayers and throw some cash at us, quite literally. Laurie, Heather, being a pleasure as ever.
Pleasure and a joy.
Ah, may we. Chateaubriand. And remember, play cross. Button. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.